Happy Monday, everyone. This is Gijs Minderhout, located in California, and 1 hour episode with Winfrey and Terry Brown. They're located in Sedona, Arizona. A Monday gathering here on a conference call, simulcast with this radio show. And on Mondays, we have a wild card, so we'll see what happens. I thank you all for being here.
Yeah, there's the wild card. Sometimes he interviews Lauren.
Yep, that's happened a few times. Good evening. Welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
Hello, hi, everyone. Shirley from Ohio.
Welcome, Shirley.
Hello, Shirley.
Hi, Shirley.
Yeah, Antonio.
Yes?
I saw a thing to do with these seeds, like the lemon seeds in particular. They say that you peel that outer part of the seed, and then you sprout the inner side.
Huh.
Good evening. Welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
Hello. Hi. It's Jane in Pennsylvania.
Good evening, Jane. Welcome.
Thank you.
Hello, Jane.
Hi, Jane.
Hi. Hi, Wanda. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Jane.
So you let them dry, and then they peel off like paper, they say, and then you plant them. We're talking about lemon seed planting.
So you're going to be known as Antonio Lemon Seed.
Yeah.
It's that
Antonio's Lemons. Make your lemonade today.
Good evening. Welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
Yeah, hi, it's Lauren from Forks, Washington, and Lauren, the other Lauren, female Lauren.
Okay.
Welcome
to the call. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Hello, hi, it's Jeannie in Citrus Heights.
Welcome, Jeannie.
Hello, Jeannie.
Hi.
Hi, Jeannie.
Hi,
Lauren.
Hi, Lauren. Hi there.
Hi, Lauren.
Hello, Lauren. Hello, Lauren.
There are two Laurens. Two Laurens here.
Yeah.
Oh, it's two Laurens on one phone line.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. Hi, other Lauren.
Hi, sweetheart. How
are
you doing? Hi, everybody.
At first, I thought he was talking about his higher self.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought you meant there were two different locations at the same
time.
Yeah.
Split personality here.
I'm going to put on mute.
Quarantine got to you, hey?
Two more people tuned in. Welcome, folks. Please say your name and location.
Hi, Cecil.
Hi,
Seattle.
Hi, Cecil. Welcome.
Hi, guys.
Hello, Mary Eileen.
Hi, Cecil.
Hi.
Hello, Mary Eileen.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, Mary Eileen.
Hi, Mary Eileen.
Anyone else, feel free to say a name and location. We welcome you.
Today's going to be the Laurens show.
For sure.
Yeah.
Instead of tune in, it'll say, tune in to Lauren.
And we are at...
That's
6 o'clock.
That's what Lauren and I do. We go Lauren, Lauren.
Get a Daryl and Daryl. It's Lauren and Lauren.
And those that just joined in on PBS Radio online, good evening to you. Welcome to the show. And here's the next live caller. Welcome. Please say your name and location.
Hi, hi, Don, live in Northern Ohio, everybody.
Hello, live Don, welcome.
Hi, Don.
Hey, Don.
Everybody.
Hi, Don.
What was that show where the guy said, this is my brother Daryl, this is my other brother Daryl, and this is my other brother Daryl?
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. It was a Canadian show. what do you call it again? They always start the
Newhart
show going, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo.
Is it called Newhart?
There is a couple of them, and the two of them that are Daryl and Daryl, the first two Daryls, they made a few shows, like there was a few different head main shows.
Corner Gas, that's a good Canadian show.
Yeah, it's another one. But this that Daryl and Daryl, that was long before, like 20 years before. That's in the 70s and 80s. I'm old. That's placing me.
I used to watch some British shows. One was called Are You Being Served? And the other one was Keeping Up Appearances.
Good evening. Welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Janine.
Welcome, Janine.
Hi, Janine.
Thank you. Hi, everybody.
And the next person that joined in, welcome. Please say your name and location.
John from Las Vegas.
Hi, John. Welcome.
Hi, John.
So they start opening things up in Las Vegas?
No, not yet.
Two more people joined in. Good evening. Welcome. Please say name and location.
Positive greetings. Hi from Sedona, my friend.
Welcome, Raiden.
Hi, Raiden. Thank you.
Hi, Raiden.
Hi, everyone. Trust all's going well.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
There was two dings there, so somebody didn't get it recognized.
Recognized, but if
didn't
they want
to be rec-
background, that's easy. All is good.
Would you like to be recognized? No.
And today, like every other day, 7 days a week, we have our Whole Planet Healing conference call at 7 p.m. Pacific, which is right after this show. And you can participate by calling 712-770-4340. The access code is 250-513-pound. 712-770-4340. Access code 250-513-pound. Or go to wholeplanethealing.com. Good evening. Welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
It's Kara in Central Alberta.
Kara, good evening. Welcome.
Hi, Kara.
Hi,
Kara.
Hello, Kara. Did I hear Prudy?
Brenda. Hello, everyone.
Hello, Prudy. Welcome.
Hi, Prudy.
Thank you.
Hi, Prudy.
Hey, everybody.
How are you feeling, Prudy?
It's okay.
Somebody else like to say their name and location?
Antonio in California.
Heard somebody else. Antonio. Welcome to the call. Ice. Ice.
Hi, Roger.
Hey, Roger.
We're getting all out of...
Roger.
All discombobulated here. Anybody would like to
call
on location if we missed you? Feel free.
Yes, Roger, welcome.
Thank you, hi.
Hi, Roger.
Someone else is there. Would you like to announce yourself?
It's Wynn in Sedona.
Hello, Wynn in Sedona.
Hello, Wynn.
Hi, Wynn.
Hi, Wynn.
Lauren.
Hi, Wynn.
We have Lauren today.
We have a Lauren today.
We got a Lauren line. Two Laurens or one line.
You know what? I'm not gonna interview him today. I don't think. I'm really tired, and I organized myself to play a replay of the very first time that Carla and I did a broadcast together, And I'm amazed at how far back it went. When it was in 2005 on the Don and Wynn show. And I don't even think Hi, did you ever listen to the Don and Wynn show?
No.
No. Well, I'll tell the story of it. Hello to everybody on VBS. And everybody's quiet, so I might as well start. Okay to start?
Yep.
Okay, now I uploaded this show.
Yes.
So if I have trouble, then you can play it. So just the first thing up.
Muted.
First thing up, yeah, I did change that already.
You what?
I went by time duration. So do you know the date or the?
No, I uploaded it. It was,
yeah.
If you look on uploaded, hang on just a second.
Yeah, I changed the order already in my uploads. It's right by time. I was playing music ahead of time.
I see.
So I don't know.
Let me just see something here.
Let's meet the whole our corny stuff. So.
Okay, I can play it. All right.
Okay, cool.
All right.
I got the dings.
Okay.
Some more.
Let's start the recording.
All right. Here we go with the recording. And today it is the 27th.
The recording has started.
This is April 27th, 2020. And Wynn and Terry in Sedona. Are you saying hello, Terry? You're not on yet. Oh, my God. And I was looking through my archives, and most of you know who Carla Ruckert is, and some of you, wait a second, Terry's trying to do the right access code.
Started.
Terry's here.
Okay, mute.
I'm muted.
You don't have a headset. Okay.
I got them muted right now. Oh, wait. I muted someone else. Hold on.
Well, you know what? She Hang was up. Muted there, but I'm next Hang to up. Her.
Yeah.
I'm next to her, so she's doing feedback. That's all right. She just hung up. She can hear everything. So, you know, there was a while. In 2005, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce had just come out. I had met Carla personally. I met her. I drove at one point to a lecture she was giving at an expo in Laughlin, Nevada. And I shared with her all of these things that were going on with regarding me talking to the Elohim and with Daphne and then with Terry. And she would be kind of my confidant. And I don't know, I wasn't sure what she thought about it, but she was just glad to be there for me, and I was glad as well. And then somebody had heard my story, I forget her name, and she knew Don Newsom, who was just starting VBS Radio. And she told him, she had him call me. Why do we hear that noise?
Here's the guy.
I called Don. That's Hayes making noise. All right. And I told him my story. And he said, that's the farthest out story I ever heard. And he said, why don't you do a show? Now, I don't believe he had a single show up at that point. And And they were just developing the idea of doing radio shows. And I told them, I said, how many times can I tell the story? I mean, I don't want a show. I thought I would be distracted, and I wasn't sure. I had no idea where the work we were going to do was going to go. And then Don would call me, and we'd have these conversations. You know, we had really deep conversations. And I said, Don, why don't we just put our conversations on the air and call it the Don and Wynn Show? And Don said, that was the great idea. Great idea! And so we actually started that. And I don't even know if anyone was listening. But we had Daphne on as a guest, and Terry on as a guest, and we had Carla on as a guest. And this is the first show. We had Carla on quite a few times, and this is the first show with Carla. Now, it's actually longer than we're going to have time for tonight, so we're going to have to cut it off. And it's about an hour and a half. And we have about
42 minutes left.
42 minutes left. So we'll just cut it off and go over to Whole Planet Healing at that point. But this is what it was all happening in 2005.
Carla?
Yes, Wynn.
Say hello to everybody.
Hello to everybody. Don,
there we go.
Wynn, it's a joy to listen to every corny word. And I hope that I may offer some corn of my own. Popped, of course.
Popped
a little
corny.
Butter, some salt. And hello to Jody. I have not met Mr. Otter nor asked him why he's blue. However, Jody is an old buddy of mine who has been a link on our site, LLResearch.org. For a long time. His place is called the ET Phone Home Page, and you can write into Jody and tell him your weird story that nobody wants to hear, not the police, not the UFO centers who supposedly are gathering information and all that. Jody will take it, as will we, actually, at LL&L Research. By all means, write it to one of us, so at least you've got it off of your chest and you can go on with your process.
Mm-hmm.
And hello to everybody. It's just a joy to be here. And please don't feel too honored, because I'm a total bozo and a heavily flawed human being. But I have been very engaged and very passionate about sharing whatever I do know with whoever wants to ask me about it, having to do with waking up and smelling the coffee and really becoming aware of the situation. Believe it or not, I've been involved with this solidly since 1992. The interesting thing about that whole experience of the last a little bit over 40 years now is that I've noticed more and more as time has gone on the similarity, the sameness, really, of the fear-based information that you keep getting. Oh, my gosh, this is the worst time of all. Things are going to happen. Things are going to fall apart. And just trying to create more and more fear. When you hear these fear-based channels, I just want to encourage everybody to take a deep breath and release all fear, because this is an exciting time to be alive, and there is no downside to it. We knew early on in life, at some point, we were going to die. And the fear-based information is always some aspect of this. You are going to die, and you may be doing it later this year. In 62, the predictions were for 65 to 70. By 1970, the predictions were for 75 to 80. It was always comfortably a little bit ahead, so it hadn't happened. Time to wake up, and now here we are saying, well, Mayans are talking about 2012.
There's always
same
that
pattern,
Tuesday.
Folks.
wait, you know what, Carla?
Time to release all fear.
Now or never, I'd guess.
But it is time to get this job done. I mean, it is time to make some simple choices. Wynn, you want to talk about that choice?
No. This is not my interview. This is your interview. I just wanted to say that we are all going to die. So if you're afraid of dying, you may as well start now, since it's inevitable. And the whole thing about everything that you're into and I'm into and what has become so apparent, that there is no reason to be afraid of dying because we go on. And it's like, you know, I can say that, and people can hear that mentally. Mm-hmm. But one of the side effects of reading this kind of material and hearing the counseling of a group soul that has died probably millions of times, you know, the entities in that group, and are still here and telling us how it works, is it kind of proves that death is not real. I mean, you know, no matter how many times you read it, when you hear, how often do you get a chance? You know, people say, well, if the dead would come back and talk to me, then I would know. Well, this is essentially the dead, so to speak, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but the dead probably, God knows how many times of lifetimes, that have evolved to be a group soul, and now are kind of watching over our planet and trying to assist it. They are assisting it, not trying, assisting it in this evolutionary process, and you have been a mouthpiece for that group. Is everything I said correct as far as you're concerned?
Well, you know, you could get into details and pick apart any one of several statements, but I think in general you're on a really good track. I could talk, Gwen, if you want to, about what the difference is between one kind of guidance system and another, or even the differences between the various parts of the Confederation of planets in the service of the infinite creator that I've channeled. That might be information that would be of some use.
I would love to hear about that.
All right.
Can I make a suggestion? Before we go into the meat of this, I always think it's good to lay a foundation of how it all started. Because somebody that channels these immensely high sources is kind of a really anomaly to a regular person. And they wonder, how did this happen? Why them? All this kind of questions. And I know that years ago, you were applying for a job. Isn't that correct?
Me?
Yeah.
I was applying for a job?
Or you got a job with a guy who did parapsychological research.
Oh, right. I didn't precisely apply for that job, but I will be glad to talk about how it all began. And that would be part of it.
Yeah, I thought it would be good to talk about.
I sure got a job.
You got a job.
Right?
One heaven of a job.
Yeah.
Well, so let's share a little bit about that, and then we'll go into the more of the.
Yeah,
the
I'd be glad to. And really, that's where it starts if you're talking about the different kinds of channeling, because it's all personal experience with me. They're really, unless you want to mix sources and become quite confused in your studies, there's really no clear way to study channeling because of the fact that channeling is a made-up word trying to describe something that people observe happening. I can tell you what happened to me. When I was in college, I was already a really kind of odd person, in that I was a mystic. I had been a mystic all my life. Jesus as a being was part of my magic kingdom, that place that a lot of gifted or odd children report going into, where, you know, they have special friends and maybe they have a pet that talks to them or they could talk to the trees. And I had all of that thing, but I also had Jesus. So I came from a situation where I was so mystical that the chief things in my childhood were perhaps different than what people are interested in their childhood. I was a musician. I was a mystic. I was a philosopher. I was always trying to go deeper. And at a certain point in my life, I became aware that my Episcopalian church, which I'd been born into and loved and had worked within its boundaries all my life, was just not enough. I had fought that part of me that was unable to accept dogma and had gone to my bishop and said, I'm afraid I'm going to have to leave the church. And he said, I don't think so. Let's talk about that. And I explained that I couldn't buy the Virgin Mary thing and just didn't seem like I was a very good Christian. And I loved Jesus. He was very real to me, and I told him why. I said, but, you know, I'm having trouble saying the creed. And he said, well, I have trouble with the Virgin Mary myself. So I said, well, how do you say the creed? And he said, well, you know, in faith and hope that, you know, one day, probably not in this lifetime, I'll be more aware of the mystery, more seeing more into it. But for me now, it's enough to go through it as an article of faith. And he shook his finger at me. He said, now, don't you leave the Christ church, because you have no one to talk to about Jesus if you ever leave. So I hadn't left the church, but I was not entirely happy with it because I could not find any opportunities for absolute silence in my practice. And I really wanted to include silent meditation in my rule of life. So this fellow that Wynn was talking about earlier, whose name was Professor Donald Tully Elkins, and whom I always called the Elk in later years after I'd gotten to know the man, he was a commanding and even intimidating figure when I first met him, I being 19 and he being some 14 years older and very accomplished, both as a researcher and a teacher, and as a pilot. He just had all kinds of things going for him. He was very brilliant. He'd been working to explore the paranormal since the mid-50s, and he would get in his little plane, and he'd fly off to Chicago or Tennessee or wherever, and he'd talk to people, anybody he could find that would talk to him. J.B. Ryan was a friend of his back in those years. He talked to a lot of the UFO contactees back in a more open day before the ridicule lid came down, like Orfeo Angelucci, believe it or not. Dan Fry, people that actually had experiences and were perfectly willing to talk with Don about them. So he was developing this knowledge base. He'd run across what he called the Detroit information. The Detroit information was brought through a group that was very interested in man consciousness and understanding. And I think if you Google on man consciousness and understanding, you'll find some wonderful material. And Don became aware of this material long before the advent of the World Wide Web, went up to Detroit, had a talk with Walt Rogers, who had created that information. And in that information was a discussion by allegedly extraterrestrial folks about how you could create an extraterrestrial-type channeling group without having to go through all the bother of a close encounter of the third kind, to use Hynek's term. Don thought, now this is interesting. I think I'm going to go back to my engineering and physics folks and see if I can find a dozen or so students that would like to do this experiment. The experiment consisted of silent meditation, which was what brought me into it. So there here were these 12 engineering students, one of whom was my boyfriend at the time, and myself, a renegade from the you know, studies on the other side of the street in Louisville, Kentucky. The sciences are on one side of the street, as it happens literally, and the arts are on the other, liberal and fine. And I was studying mostly liberal and some fine arts and no science whatsoever. So here was this very anomalistic woman sitting with a professor and 12 physics students, inviting the silence and also realizing that it was possible that we would be able to pick up information by following simple instructions. Everybody but me in the group eventually began to channel. However, the scientific value of the experiment was blown because Walt Rogers visited Louisville after people had been sitting in silent meditation and not channeling for 6 months. Walt Rogers came down and did some channeling and said, you know, you guys are right on the verge of it, and you're just so afraid you're going to channel wrong information that you're not letting it come through. So how about, you know, getting it together to sort of lay your tail over the line and do this thing? Well, immediately people began actual channeling, but the scientific value was compromised because of the fact that we brought in Walt Rogers from Detroit, and he'd done that channeling and changed things. So it wasn't a purely scientific experiment. Nothing could actually be proven. At that point, Don decided as a scientist that the only thing to do was to keep collecting material, because when you have material of a somewhat dubious value, the main advantage to such a database is to make it as large as possible so you can begin creating some understanding just from the drift of things. And we're still doing that in LNL research. I did not channel for 12 years. And when I began channeling, it was because all the people from the original group had grown up, gotten jobs, and moved on. I came back to town after spending a little bit of time in Canada working at the University of British Columbia as a librarian, and discovered that Don was now looking to create a new channeling group. And so he did so out of the dregs of the old one, which were basically me. And in 74, he asked me if I would try channeling along the lines of the way that, everyone in the original 62 group had learned channeling. And I said, okay. I began channeling, and it was a potpourri of many, many voices. Because of my naturally positive tuning, I was getting positive information. But it was all over the place. And I just began noticing that, you know, gee, if you ask this kind of question, you get this kind of energy. If you ask that kind of question, you get a different kind of energy. I discovered if people ask questions about spiritual principles, then you can keep a tuning very well that feels like the original tuning. If someone starts asking you about specific information about doom, about the end of the world, about the ascension, so forth, all these trigger topics that trigger fear in people, the tuning actually drifts. And it's like you're switching channels or on a TV or stations on a radio. The information that you're getting varies very slightly, but the import or the impact of the information varies greatly. So I began being far more careful about tuning before a session, about trying to coax people into asking questions about spiritual principles rather than about specific events and so forth. And so my channeling began to be more steady and to have more of a steadiness and a stability to it, which people appreciated. And this was a good 5 years before the Law of One material was begun. This was all conscious channeling. And it is also channeling that I do to this day.
Carla?
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, all the people in the room that were channeling, who were they channeling? Did the voices identify themselves, or was it just...
Well, you know, we had a wild range of experiences with the people who were genuinely trying to channel what they were picking up. Some people channeled voices that you see from when I was learning to channel in 74. If you go to our website, you can see all of those. When Don was acting as the channel himself and teaching me, they were teaching through him. They were teaching me. The Confederation entities were teaching me how to carry their contact. Sometimes you get people that were just shouting out numbers and letters. Sometimes you get people that were shouting nonsense, total nonsense. Don's own father was very keen on proving that he was hip, you know, and he was going to show his son that he was cool. He began channeling. We could never get a single sentence that made any sense out of the man. But he was, you know, genuinely trying. And but it was pretty much all over the map. But the people that were sticking with the silent meditation and were taking the information that they already had and trying to live it so that they were doing this every day, began pretty much channeling voices like Catan, Latos, Latui, names that come up in my own channeling.
How about discarnate entities? Were any discarnate entities coming through, just earthbound?
I did get quite a few discarnate entities because people would ask for them. People would ask for People these days have probably never heard of entities like Manka. But at one time in the 50s, the Manka tapes were all over the place, and people said, "Can you find Manka? Can you find the source channeled by so and so?" You know, mm-hmm. and they'd give various names that I don't even want to go into. But yeah, at first I didn't know any better than to simply to go around and see if I could fish up whoever people were asking for. Mm-hmm. And some of those things were very interesting. I think if you get on our site and, for instance, and do a site search on YADA, YADA, Yada Dishaidi, fascinating guided channel, just really totally a discarded entity, an inner planes guide. And maybe when that might be something that it would be good to mention is that one big division between types of channels is the inner planes channel and the outer planes channel. The inner planes channel, my own inner planes channel is, I call her Holly, but it's the Holy Spirit. I'm a Christian. I take the stuff literally. I ask for the Holy Spirit, and I talk to Holly, and we have conversations right out loud. Anybody can do this, but if you have faith to begin with, it's a lot faster process. If you want to get in touch with your guidance system, sit down with a piece of paper and a pen, and you'll start. Just write a question out and then write down what the next thing you think, and then write down your reaction to that, and then write down the next thing that you get in your head. You can't tell the difference between your thoughts and your guidance. You're mm-hmm. that close to your guidance. Mm-hmm. So you really have to externalize the process in order to realize that it's actually going on. Or you can just talk out loud, or you mm-hmm. can put it on a tape recorder, or you can do it on a computer. But one way or another, it really helps to externalize some of this so that you realize you are talking to guys.
You know, the people around you personally usually end up having some kind of channeling experience, don't they?
Well, I try to avoid that, uh-huh. but there is something energizing about my presence. I try to encourage people not to channel. I think mm-hmm. it's something that I encourage people to get in touch with their guidance, but I encourage them to do this in a way that's strictly within their own energy field.
That's interesting, though, that you would say you encourage people not to channel.
Right.
Maybe you could elaborate more on that?
Gladly. It's a very crowded universe out there, and I have watched people's personalities be split apart under the influence of a very strong channel. Some people are naturally gifted. Some people are a little dense. There's a wide range of how much in touch with that balance between intuition and intellect that you've got. And people that are tuned already to be a little fey, to be a little mystical, may well start picking up very strong entities fairly quickly. And these are not fragments or delusions. These are entities just like you and me. They don't happen to have third density or consensus reality physical bodies, but they are entities. Not all of them are pleasant entities or entities that you want to talk to.
There's negative realms out there, aren't there?
There's a lot of mischievous energy out there. There's a lot of negatively oriented energy out there. So I think in terms of channeling, I encourage people not to take up channeling. I encourage them to get in touch with their own guidance. You can't get hurt asking mm-hmm. for your own guidance because it's totally within you. It's closer than your breathing. Mm-hmm. It's a different matter to pick up an outer channel, and that's mm-hmm. what I encourage people not to do.
Mm-hmm.
I used to teach channeling all the time until I watched three different people at three different times have to undergo therapy. In one case, have to be placed in a mental hospital to get it back together. I mean, there's really a lot of cobbling back together that needed to be done. The poor woman needed resouling completely, and that is an intended pun. So it's a wonderful thing to realize how real guidance is, but it's a very sobering thing to watch mischievous or negatively oriented entities take apart a human personality shell. So I don't like to see that happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it is possible for it to happen if you do this kind of thing without the guidance of an experienced channel and the strength of a group tuning.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things when I was teaching channeling I was very strong on was trying to teach people how to tune, and that's based on knowledge of who you are. That is the hardest part of learning to channel, is getting in touch with who you are, because the only way you can challenge spirit is from who you are. You say, I am one who follows this principle. I follow unconditional love. The one I see as that entity which to me best represents unconditional love is Jesus the Christ. Therefore, I am going to challenge in the name of Jesus the Christ, for whom I would die and for whom I am living my life, and trying to follow his ways, his truth, and his life. So I will challenge in the name of Jesus the Christ, and I will make people that I get in contact with say that Jesus is Lord. And I won't just make them say it once. I'll make them say it three times. And if I can make this contract with them that I am coming to them to make a contact with the consciousness of unconditional love, and they are the highest and best channel that I can carry in a conscious, stable manner, then we've got a deal. I let go of my personality, and I give them the floor. And it is time for who knows what. But I trust that group tuning that has asked the question, that has brought the circle of seeking together, I trust the connection that I've made, and I let that energy play itself out. It's a fairly crystallized situation.
That is, wow. You know, I had a couple of questions, and let's just say I was coming from a point of knowing nothing. The question I'd ask, you said inner and outer channels.
Yeah.
And when you're talking about inner channels, I guess you're talking about your own inner higher self or inner intuition.
That's correct. Higher self is a good way to put it. Now, the material that those of Ra came through with in a completely different kind of channeling, in a trance channeling.
And would you recommend that, or is that something different? Because I hear of a lot of people that do what they call deep trance channeling.
Well, the difference is that in the trance, you don't really have any more control. You can't stop it. You're out of your body, and you're hanging out somewhere else while they use the entire system, the body system, the voice,
right,
everything. And so it was a far different experience for me, certainly very wearing on me. And I was encouraged by the ones known as Ra, the group known as Ra, not to do that particular kind of channeling unless I had Don Elkins and Jim McCarty as my batteries.
Right.
When Don died in 1984, I made a determination that I was not going even to look for the Law of One or the entities called Ra, because they had told me not to.
Right.
I did get Ra's for a while. There are at least three times that I can remember saying, okay, I'm Ra, now you can channel me. And I went, okay, can you say that Jesus is Lord? And there's dead silence, you know, in the realm of whatever it is that you talk to when you get this sort of information, which is very intuitional. At any rate, I never channeled the Ra group again. But yeah, the energies are pretty much, you know, you can tune before you get such a contact, but afterwards, after you've gone into trance, that's the end of it.
Right.
And you really are not able to affect the channeling. So in that way, it was completely different, and probably is the reason why people love that material so much, because my chatty personality was out of the way. Now, if you read the Ra material itself, as opposed to my conscious channeling, you are in the land of Nod. I mean, you're talking about very compressed, precise information.
Yes.
Being given like in a very narrow band way so that every word is carefully considered. And there are a lot of similarities between the Ra material, so-called, and German philosophy in the density of the material and the difficulty with the language itself.
Yes.
When the Ra was faced with the idea of speaking about people, the word person was apparently too far out for them to work with. It just wasn't specific enough. So what did they do? Just like a German philosopher, they made up a word. Instead of person, they called people mind-body-spirit complexes, mind/body/spirit complexes. When people read the Ra material then for the first time, there's this load going into it, where you have a learning curve just learning the terminology. We have glossaries on site and so forth, and so does David Wilcox's site, ascension2000.com. He has a study guide, in fact, that was prepared so that people could start to penetrate the Law of One material. If you click on one site or another, you find the Law of One material. It's on our site. It's on David's site. It's on a lot of sites, actually, and in many languages. If your first language is in English, look around. You might be surprised. But when you find it, if you find that you're fighting the information just because of the language, go to a Wanderer's Handbook, which is something that I wrote for people that were having trouble reading the Law of One. It's one of those things where I just basically did a book that was taking the most frequently asked questions from people that wrote in on the web, because that gave me a digital database where I could go back and check the questions, see what people were asking over and over. And there's a lot of Law of One material quoted there. There's also a lot of my conscious channeling quoted there. There are also a lot of stories and stuff from the people that were writing into me. And then there's my own highly questionable prose as well. So I think that you might check that out if you're having trouble looking at the material. Also, you can just click on our site, go to the library, click on transcriptions, click on the year 2005 and see what we've done lately. Sometimes, very synchronistically, something that you're thinking about is something that somebody that has paid for a session with me or has come to a public session, we do Sunday sessions, has asked that question. And you can just go in there and go, wow, here it is. Here's something I can think about today on this subject.
Sure.
And just totally get into it from that standpoint. It's a real nice kind of a Yi Ching moment when you run into a question that you wanted to ask, and, man, there it is. Somebody's already asked that question.
Well,
I have a question, Carla. When you first started having the raw contact, obviously, I would think you would say, is this real? And is this really right? How long did it take you of having that contact before you said, man, I've got something really amazing coming through me?
Oh, immediately.
Immediately.
Yeah, well, but see, by that time I'd been channeling for quite a while, and I no longer bothered to question the process.
Mm-hmm.
By that time I'd already produced thousands and hundreds of thousands of words, and
mm-hmm.
if it was coming from me, isn't that amazing? You know,
mm-hmm.
because I wouldn't have thought I had that many words in me. But
Did you trust the source right away, or did you?
Well, see, the first time that the raw came through, I had gone through the entire challenging process, and they
mm-hmm.
answered the challenge just fine.
Mm-hmm.
So I trusted the source, and I knew that it was anomalistic, that I couldn't remember anything about it. I couldn't
mm-hmm.
remember going to sleep. So I knew that something was different about it, and at the same time, I trusted the Elk, and I trusted Jim McCarty, and both of them were totally knocked out by this information. I never saw Don Elkins happy, except when he was talking to the raw group.
Mm-hmm.
He was happy sitting there reading over the last session and creating questions for the next session. He was happy when he was talking to them. And when a session would be over and I would wake up, this was one happy man I was talking to. So I knew
mm-hmm.
that if Elkins was impressed, I would probably be impressed if I knew what the heck was going on. Unfortunately, they thought at the beginning, Don, ever being the scientist, thought that if I knew anything about the information, it might pollute the information. So he wouldn't let me see it. So I went through this time, I think it was like 23 sessions went by before they let me see the material. And during that time, of course, Jim and Don would say, does your mind-body-spirit complex have a distortion towards fullness / hunger? Which was a way of saying, are you hungry? But you see, it was couched in the way the Law of One information looks at everything, which is in terms of our density, which is the density of choice, and the concept of everything as coming into balance, as everything not being in opposition, but containing paradox, so that you didn't have two opposing circles, one called good, one called evil, or one called hunger, the other called satiation or fullness, you had two circles that intersected with a common part in the middle, which is fish-shaped, interestingly enough, an old Christian symbol that means unconditional love. And that's what the law of one material is all about, unconditional love. How do you find it in yourself? How do you find it in the creation around you or in the people around you? How do you find, indeed, the Creator itself to ask about this situation? That is the kind of question that the law of one material is so good at helping you to cope with because of the fact that using this basic viewpoint they were so good at putting into effect just in the way they phrased things, you were suddenly given the gift of a cosmology or a structure for the universe in which various things like the amazing dynamics between the physical world and the metaphysical world were not given in an either-or basis. They were given in the sense of these two intersecting circles with commonality in their middle, this fish-shaped, I think it's called a mandorka, technically speaking, when that occurs. And this mandorka is the place of paradox, where paradoxes are resolved, where paradoxes are at least found to have a commonality that allows you to go forward without eliminating hunger or satiation, without eliminating good or evil, but beginning to understand that these are dynamics of a larger picture.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're looking at us outside of time, aren't they?
Well, I think that in the time-space as opposed to the space-time continuum, in the metaphysical world as opposed to the physical world, time and space are circular.
Mm-hmm.
And all that is occurring to us in previous lifetimes, in lifetimes to come, and in this lifetime, which to us is all important, all of this is occurring in a circle, and the harvest opening from all of our incarnations is moving towards the center of that circle, which is our soul stream. In actuality, I have a feeling that our individual soul streams eventually move into group soul streams and then eventually move into the Creator. But that's a long story involving a lot of densities, not just this one or the one to come, but a whole octave of densities, 1 through 7, with the next octave beginning with the next heartbeat of the Creator, which is the 8th density, which moves into the 1st density of the next creation.
Mm-hmm.
So you have this wonderful exploratory trip through all of these different experiences, the experience of first density of being the elements, earth, air, water, fire, rock, sky, wind, you know, all of these elementary things. And
you mean you started out as rocks?
And so we're still, we have rockness within us. We have that memory buried deeply within our frontal lobes, which we access only occasionally. One good thing that meditation is good for is putting you back in touch with some of your other density experiences.
You know that old saying, when you're a rock?
Speak for yourself, Don.
You know, maybe you're the bell that tolls for everybody.
You know,
wasn't there a rock and a bell that tolled for everyone in that poem? We're talking about John Donne here.
You were talking earlier, excuse me, when...
I know mostly about rock and roll, okay?
Okay. That'll do for me, too.
You were talking earlier about the Galactic Federation, and you were going to explain that, and then we got into the topic of how you got involved in this and the channeling, but there are so many people right now channeling all these different beings that
right.
Many now on the internet, most specifically, are familiar with the Hattons and various beings from the Galactic Federation. I could go list them, but there's so many.
There's really no need to. I think what people need to take away about channeled information in general is that they need to be listening to their own discrimination carefully.
Right.
There is probably 95% out of the 100% of stuff out there that's not for you. What you're doing is you're exploring. And when something really rings your chime, here's how you know it. You know it because you're resonating. You're vibrating like a wind chime or like a bell. And you're saying, you know, it's like I knew this already, but I've forgotten it. And now here it is again, and I'm so grateful that I've run across it because this is really, I want to focus on this. And you just get this feeling. It's very subjective. And I think truth itself is very subjective. And you need to realize that you are responsible for your metaphysical universe.
Right.
In that you are the creator. And what you say goes. So if you start taking anybody, me or anybody else, if you start taking our channeling as being a source that has authority, you've given something very precious up, and you should not do that.
You've given away your power.
Don't give away your power.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Read it. If it says something to you and you want to use it for a while, use it. But if it doesn't get past the lions at your gate, man, just drop it.
Yes.
Without a second thought and walk on, because there's something right around the corner. If you're seeking, there's something waiting for you to find it. I mean, I don't know if it's going to be in anybody's channeling. It might be in a road sign. It might be, say, your totem is a hawk or an otter or some being in nature that you run across in your, you know, Subaru on the way to the market, and you go, oh, I wonder why I saw a hawk today. What was I thinking, you know? And then you start going into that, and you're getting guidance all the time. It's not necessarily has to come from a channel.
I love the way you put that. I mean, I can't thank you enough for that, because that's something that people should remember, that channeling really, really is when you give your power to it, you're giving up your own power.
Yeah.
And your own choice. And, you know, so much out there right now is coming from these negative sources, or at least sources that are maybe mostly positive, but yet have that.
That's right. If people don't tune, and if they don't challenge, and if they themselves are not at a point in their lives where they know themselves very well.
Right.
Their tuning during a contact can vary widely.
Right.
Consequently, even if you trust somebody's channeling or say, you know, that and that and that was so good, that don't give in to the desire to trust everything that
right.
channel. Even me, and I try to be really, really responsible and do 110% of a genuine job at clearing myself out, making myself transparent, and then just letting the source come through just without any distortion that I can help. Still, I might have a bad day, you know, so please, you know, just take care to guard your own discrimination and your own temple, because that's really what's going on. You're creating your own sacred space.
Well, you were going to talk about earlier about, I think,
you're hogging all the questions.
But he hasn't gotten one out yet. So let him have the second half of this one.
All right, go ahead.
No, you were just initially when you were talking, when we started.
All right, that's a good place to stop. And thank you, Don. We're still here, believe it or not. And that was the Don and Wynn Show. And I don't know if I've ever played one. I did play one. I played one where Daphne was on. And she spontaneously did a live channeling at the time. In any case,
unmuted.
Hey, guys.
Thank you from Seattle.
Thank you.
How many of you are hearing Carla? How many were hearing Carla for the first time? Nobody. All right.
It was really nice to hear her voice.
Yeah.
Yes. Nice to hear Carla again, yes.
I would love to hear her.
Yeah. Okay, let's go over to Whole Planet Healing. And
hopefully she gave you some energy, Wynn.
Huh?
Hopefully she gave you some energy on that one.
Muted. Unmuted.
Well, you know, in those days, I was still a baby, still learning about all this stuff. And, you know, even though I was in the middle of an experience, I think I was still talking from the outside in rather than from the inside out, and if that makes sense. This is,
yep, it does.
Yeah. It's like it takes a lot to integrate this stuff and make it a co-creative part of your life, as opposed to an interesting phenomena. And thank you all for being here. Thank you all for being supportive. And we'll see you in a moment at Whole Planet Healing.
This session is no longer being recorded.